You ready?
I'm ready whenever you are.
In a civil justice system where wide receivers are allowed to sue discriminately, the detectives who investigate these vicious claims are the beer bottle QBs.
Dun, 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 bum, 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 bum.
And we're back after a quick 1 month hiatus, morning football season, rest in peace. We are here today with some serious business. We are going to cover the Colby Listenbee lawsuit.
We're going to come to you with a heavy heart. This is a heavy, heavy heart.
Heavy episode. So we're going to start with a little. We've got an insider. I was there. I was on the coaching staff when these things transpired, that 2015 year I was a graduate assistant. CJ, a fan, obviously.
I was in college.
In college. There we go. That was the victory. No, that wasn't the victory lap. That was after. Year after the victory lap.
That was the victory lap.
No, it was after. The 2014 season was the victory lap. The semantics.
2015.
Yeah, 2015 was the year I was a GA. Trust me. I did all the research. We got it. So, all right. So let's start out with it. Your
sure?
first thoughts as an outside opinion, as a TCU fan, what do you think about the lawsuit?
Okay. So you've read it detailed into this lawsuit. You've read pretty much the whole lawsuit. I haven't read a word of it.
I've read it all.
So I'm coming to you as I don't know the facts. I just know he's claiming abuse, that they rushed him back from injury too quickly, and that hurt his NFL dreams, aspirations, whatever you say, his future and career. I think this lawsuit is bullshit, first off, and I think it's a money grab. Okay, this is all I'm basing it off, is he was healthy when he left TCU. By the time he got ready for the NFL draft, by the time he was ready to start his career as a Buffalo Bill, he was a healthy athlete. Colby Listenbee ran the second fastest time at the NFL Combine. You're healthy if you run the second fastest time at the NFL Combine. If you're claiming that you were injured, that an injury at TCU that happened a year before you ever started playing for the Buffalo Bills cost you your playing time, that's just, in my opinion, without any facts, that's just blatantly wrong. If you run the second fastest time at the combine, you get drafted, it's on you at that point. Your college career is done. You can't come back and say, oh, well, they rushed me back because I was injured. Well, you weren't injured. You ran the second fastest time at the NFL Combine. You were clearly healthy enough to run 40 yards faster than everybody else except for one person. So I don't see a basis of the lawsuit. I get that he didn't have a successful NFL career and that probably, you know, he was probably banking on that for money, but this happens to literally hundreds of people. They get to the NFL, they realize it's a different level, they can't play at that level, they can't run tight routes, they don't know how to block, all they do is can run straight really fast and catch the ball a third of the time, which is what Colby Listenbee did, and then they realize that there's no place in the NFL for guys that can just do that.
Yeah, I think it goes into pretty detail. I'm not a medical expert. But it really comes down to does he have a case? Can you sue your college coaches, your college trainers for injuries that affect your NFL career? I mean, that's like football injuries happen. Like injuries happen all the time. Like they literally are a part of the game. Like can you assume that it's their fault, even though the risk is always there? And I was reading the Mavericks doctor had a comment about it, and there's parts in the lawsuit where he's talking about he didn't have the full 12 weeks of rest and yada yada yada. It really even if you have the 12 weeks of rest, that doesn't mean that your injury is going to automatically heal and you're going to be able to play at the same level before. I think the 40 yard dash is a pretty good sign that he was damn close to his highest level from doing months of training for the combine. But it really comes down to separating the medical part out of it. Like, in the lawsuit, he's naming TCU. He's naming Chris Del Conte. He's naming all the trainers and doctors by name. He's naming three individual coaches, Gary Patterson, Rusty Doug Burns, Meacham. And Doug Meacham. It really seems like a stretch. And I was there. We're going to go in depth into a lot of his claims that I was there witness for a lot of it. But it really comes down to, let me be completely honest. TCU is a tough place, tough environment to succeed as a player and to succeed as a coach. It's just a grinded out in environment where the pressure is real. Absolutely.
It's like every major D1 yeah. college. It's not a cakewalk. You got to show up every day or you're not going to play.
Coaches are extremely tough. I mean, the verbiage there is like what wouldn't be work appropriate in any other environment, but this is college football. This is the same verbiage you've been around your entire life, basically. Like, this is what you grew up in. Like, and TCU's like, it's a super, super tough environment, probably tougher than most, but that's why we win more football games. And Colby Listenby wouldn't be much of a football player without Rusty Burns, specifically his wide receivers coach, and Meacham, who put him on the map by bringing in the new offense. So, like, they absolutely – and to be drafted, even if you're 4.39 speed, you have to get the scouts ask the coaches everything about you. They ask you, were you a good player? Did you practice hard? And to get drafted, you have to have good reviews from your coaches. If they say you're a bad attitude guy, you won't get drafted. They say you're – I mean, you might get drafted, but more than likely you're not. It's like the Vontaze Burfict effect, one in a million. But Colby didn't show enough in his career to be on that level. Like, it says – so let's go into it. The average career for a wide receiver is like 2 years. 1-2 years, just the average NFL career max. For all of them. So for this lawsuit to be able to take effect, like for him to win money, he has to prove that his career would have been longer than the average career without this injury, which I don't think the stats really back that up. So In page 5 at the beginning of the lawsuit, it says ranked 26th in the nation in yards per catch after his junior season. Yeah, that's pretty good, 18 yards per catch. But 26 wide receivers don't get drafted every year in the NFL draft.
No,
and even if they do, which would be a very odd year, 26 receivers don't make it out of camp as rookies. Like, it's just not something that happens. You may make a practice squad, but making a full team, like, for him to get the $4 million in his rookie contract – that he's saying, he would have had to make the team, made the roster, and made all the cuts after that.
There's guys that get drafted in the fourth round that don't make the team as wide receivers.
Yeah, it's absolutely – it's kind of a ridiculous statement. I mean, he was good in college. No one doubts that. Pure talent, but
he wasn't even the best.
He lacked a lot of things on – he wasn't the best receiver
on the team. He wasn't the best receiver on his own team.
And he lacked a lot of the skills that top talent receivers have, like
route running ability.
Route running ability, like the ability to make the tough catch to go up and get the ball. He showed some of that his junior year. But did he didn't do anything compared to Doxson. Doxson had outrageous stats. So I think Colby caught like 1,400 yards in his entire career at TCU. I mean, that's not mind-blowing numbers. That's not even great numbers. Like,
that's not number two wide receiver for 2 years numbers.
Yeah, and like you just
it's
have to
not,
look at
it's
you,
not.
It's not. And you have to look at TCU's track record of players and guys who have stayed in the league. It's always the guys that played special teams and worked the hardest and like weren't the prima donna attitude guys. And to be honest, I don't want to just completely disrespect Cole, but he was a prima donna guy. He was a guy that he was a track guy. He was a guy who relied on that speed and that God-given ability. It's just not that – you look at Jonathan Anderson, a guy who had incredible athletic ability, couldn't even see the field at TCU besides special teams, played 2 years in the NFL on special teams just because he worked that hard.
Yeah, because he's a hard worker.
So we'll go down a little bit more. Page 11, multiple articles written that he could have been a huge star. I mean, that's highly debatable whether he would have been a huge star. We kindly covered that. I mean,
because he was fast. That's it. That's only because he was a track star and he was fast.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean that you're going to do anything in the NFL if you're just fast. We've seen 1,000 fast guys that don't play it down in the NFL because they can't run routes. They don't get offensive combinations. It just,
I mean, let's be honest. This is just lawyer conjecture to try to make their case sound better. So page down to page 11, forced to practice. It says he was forced to practice after right after his injury. I don't really think that was the case. I don't remember. I was on the defensive side of the ball. He may have suited up for practice one of the weeks, but like he wasn't doing much. He wasn't practicing super hard. Like if you say you're hurt to the trainers, they let you sit out. They'll pull you out. Like they like it's not. No one is making you sit in there and practice. Like they're not forcing you. Obviously, there's going to be pressure from teammates and people who are playing through injuries. Who that happens all the time in football.
All the time.
Yeah, but skipping to page 13. Paragraph 46. This is the quote. He said that Gary Patterson, Doug Meacham, and Rusty Burns continually harassed, humiliated, pressured, and threatened him. So this is an absurd, absurd statement because maybe Gary Patterson may have said he's known to say some things that are borderline, but he'll always apologize in the end. And like at the end of the day, he really does mean the best for his players. But one off comment doesn't mean you're continually harassed, humiliated, pressured, and threatened. Rusty Burns, I know for a fact he did not harass, humiliate, and pressure, and threaten. He's the nicest guy on the football staff, the coolest coach by far. Meacham, also known for being laid back, cool, like intense at practice, but like not a dick. Like he's not known for being a dick. And he wasn't a dick to almost anyone in the facility. You can ask a million different people.
I just have a really hard time believing the threats. I get maybe like you can claim harassment because they're like, oh, come on, play, you know. But I don't think they would harass. But threaten? What are they going to threaten you with? Like, what are they going to say? Oh, you're not getting playing time? Well, that's what you wanted because you're hurt if you don't want playing time.
Yeah, I mean, he's a senior, so they can't kick you out of the team. I actually have that later because he said Patterson threatened to kick him out of TCU as well. But like, even if he said that, everyone's smart enough to know that Gary Patterson can't kick kids out of the school. Like, he's the head football coach. He's not the dean of admissions. He's not the chancellor. He's not the board of directors. Board of directors.
Yeah, I mean,
board of directors also being sued, by the way.
This lawsuit is just, it's ridiculous on some of these counts. I mean, a lot of these, he may have some basis in maybe one or two of these things, but a lot of this is honestly, it's bullshit. Like, I mean, how do you sue the president of the university? He probably didn't even know who Colby Listenby was. He's like, oh, yeah, that guy, that pass guy, number seven, he's good.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's none of this stuff leads you to believe that, like, this stopped him from having an NFL career. Like,
no.
I still have yet to see a single thing. The medical stuff, I mean, I don't know. The cortisone shots, I don't really know about that stuff. I wasn't in the training room when that stuff happened. I don't know if they gave him too many cortisone shots. Maybe he has a case on that side. But that doesn't give you the right to sue the head coach, the assistant coaches, the offensive coordinator, the board of directors, the athletic director. Like, if you're suing the medical people, you're suing the medical people. You're not suing, like, TC already countersued. Like, they're not responsible for the contractor medical people. Like, it's just like, it's literally like they stuck everyone on this piece of paper to see who they could get and how they could get this settled out of court. So that's what it looked like to me. But so there's a couple more things in the actual lawsuit that just were like, look like, so it was in paragraph 47, he says that he wasn't allowed to sit in his normal seat on the airplane, which is reserved for senior starters, and he wasn't because he was sitting out of the game. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously you're not going to get your first class seat because you're not starting as a senior for this game.
Because you're not playing.
Yeah, someone who's going to get it who's playing in the game. Like, that's the whole purpose, is to give your seniors, like, a nice, nice seat. Like, you've earned the privilege, you've earned the right, you're playing in the game. Like, that's just, I mean,
makes sense.
That's just, like, that's honestly just being a crybaby. Like, that is literally just being a crybaby. Say, he didn't let me have my seat. He didn't let me have my seat, CJ!
I wanted my airplane seat! I wanted it! I didn't get to watch the movie!
It's like, how does that make a pattern of harassment these days? Like, where, like, how in the world? Like, trust me, if there's anyone on this team that has the right to sue any of the coaches, it would be anyone on the defensive side of the ball. Everyone who spent time at TCU, the people on the defensive side of the ball have a way harder time just because Gary is there all the time and he is He's one intense motherfucker. Let's say it that way. He's an intense motherfucker. I've been chewed. My ass was chewed more times than I could. I guarantee my ass was chewed more times than Colby fucking Liston be in my 4 years as an equipment manager and 2 years as a GA. Like that's just how it works. He's an old school coach. That happens everywhere though. That's college football for you. It's an
intense environment. What about Derek Kindred?
Derek Kindred.
He played with a broken collarbone the whole season.
Yeah, I mean, like that was something. When that injury happened on the practice field, everyone was, like, down. Like, Coach Glasgow was down. Coach Patterson was down. Like, everyone was literally like, damn, like, this kid's worked so hard. Like, he's done everything he needed to do. Like, everyone felt so bad for him. But he literally kept playing through practice and finished the game. Without pressure. There was no pressure. He literally wanted to do that for the team. Like, there was – Trayvon Boykin wanted to play for the team. He was injured during the Kansas game. He came back and fought through the pain and tried to play. Josh Doctson had to get his surgery at the end of the year. Like that all, like, everyone plays through the pain in college football. Like, that's what they did. They chose to do that. Like, there's not a environment. What he's saying is there's an environment that threatens and harasses people to play, and I can guarantee you there's not. Like, the environment for that in college football, it's because people want to play. Like, people want to play the sport. That's why you're playing college football. You want to play at the highest level. And most people would give anything to play at the highest level. Like, the people on the team, like, they're giving their heart. Like, it's insulting. It's insulting to the coaches. It's insulting to the program. It's insulting to everyone who played on that team, everyone who coached on that team, all the student athletic trainers, all the equipment managers, all the people that put hours in for that team. It's insulting to say that there is a culture of harassment and humiliation and threats.
Yeah. If you want to see why people want to play college football and the reason they do it, watch Ed Reed's speech at the halftime of the national championship. And he'll tell you why he's playing the game. It is awesome. He says, man, I'm not healthy. I'm hurt, but I'm going to play. Like literally, you play because you do it for the guy next to you. You're not playing because you want to go to the NFL. You're playing for the name on the front, not the back. I mean, and this is just a classic case of a guy, you know, who didn't achieve what he thought he would. And he thought he was better than what he was, and he's blaming everybody but himself for putting in the hard work to make it in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I have no doubt he was in pain with this injury, and like it was a legitimate injury. But I think that blaming everyone and their mother at TCU for this injury happening and you not be able to have an NFL career because of it is absolutely insane. I mean, I really think it is. Like, I think it's literally just looking for people to blame. It's a problem in our society. I mean, it's literally...
Yeah, just looking for blame.
It's like, I don't know what law firm's doing it, but I'm sure they're an ambulance-chasing law firm. That's what it seems like. I'll have to look it up and see if that's true, but...
It's a money grab. It's a money grab. They're trying to get as much money as they can.
And the sad thing is, it'll probably get settled out of court, and he'll probably get some money from it, and...
He's not going to get a lot.
You know what?
Because that lawyer is going to take a shit ton of that money.
If he wants to sue for medical expenses, if TC didn't pay for that, yeah, I think that's pretty fair. I think it's fair for a school to pay for the medical expenses of their players post-college. I think that's a fair thing. Like, they put it on the line for the school. I think if you got injured at school and you're having trouble with that later down the line, yeah, I think the program should probably pay for that. But that's not $1 million. Like... It's not $1 million worth of damages. Like, that's not what the lawsuit's about. Like, that's not what happened. And so, before we close up on this and move to our next topic, the one thing that drove me, this absolutely, I went bananas. And I tweeted right after. This is the moment that I tweeted my incendiary, fiery tweet. It didn't get as much steam as I wanted, but it was a pretty good tweet. I'm not going to lie. Mm-hmm. Had a few likes. Next man up. It quotes that next man up was a threatening posture and humiliating posture for him, like, that the coaches were threatening him with next man up. That's the mantra of every college football team in the nation.
In the world.
How many, like, that is literally the mantra of every football team in the world. If next man up is a crime.
And baseball team.
If next man up is a crime, then, like, we should stop playing sports all in general, and we should live in fucking Truman bubbles for the rest of our lives. Because it is that is next man up is absurd. Like, it's absolutely absurd to say that. That next man up is a threatening thing. That's a motivational tool for the player behind him. Like, that's not even really directed at him. That's directed at the other people. Like, that's directed at the rest of the team.
I mean, what do you want the next guy to play shitty because you want to keep your job because you're hurt? Like, that makes no sense.
Gosh, Lee.
Next man up was a harassment. That is just batshit insane.
That's nuts. That's nuts. But I mean,
why doesn't he sue the Eagles and Nick Foles, saying that when Carson Wentz went down, Nick Foles and Carson Wentz should get on this lawsuit too, saying, "Oh, next man up, man. I really felt triggered by that. I don't know. I'm Carson Wentz. I don't know. I'm a little triggered. Next man up."
It's so ridiculous. I mean,
it's a money grab. It's a money grab. At the end of the day, it's all it is. And it's sad because he burned the TCU bridge forever.
With his alumni. Like, I mean, you can't step foot on campus after that. Like, I mean, you can. You can, I guess, but like, you're not going to be like the Twitter reactions were not good. Like,
not good.
And that's just from the people that are ready to like give that out. I can only imagine. I've seen a couple teammates that tweeted out. I can only imagine like what his teammates feel. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure some of them support him because not everyone liked Coach P's coaching style. Not everyone can handle it. And I understand that. I understand you not being able to handle it, but you can transfer. Like, all these players had options to transfer.
You picked your college. You don't have to be here.
Yeah, and I mean, Coach P is tough. He's a very tough person to work for, very tough person to be around. But at the end of the day, he really is looking out for his players' best interest wholeheartedly and wants to do the best. Mm-hmm. The saying, 40, not four, because he wants players to come back for the next 40 years instead of four. Like, that's something he preached all the time. And he's all about kids graduating. TCA has one of the highest graduation rates in the country, year after year.
Hope you listen to me graduate.
Year after year. What?
Colby Liston, he graduated.
Yeah, Colby Liston, he graduated. He has a degree from TCU. So that's right there is worth $200,000. Plus, on average, it's worth about $1 million of lifetime income being a college graduate.
At least.
Yeah, I think it's more than that, actually. I think, I don't know, I'm messing that stat up. But let's move on. It's a rough topic.
Heavy
heart. Rough for TCU, but I think we'll be able to get past it. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that will back up those coaches, myself included, and a lot of ex-players. A lot of people. A lot of people will back them up in these claims. So I think it's okay for TCU, for the Froggies.
Yeah, I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, but let's roll into. I mean, we don't talk NFL, but it's the fucking Super Bowl, guys.
Super
Bowl. We gotta talk about it. We gotta
talk about
Nick. Thoughts. What are your thoughts? Were you rooting for the
Eagles?
Big
Dick Nick.
Yeah, Big Dick Nick, baby. Man.
That was awesome.
He was throwing dimes, dude.
He was good. Dimes. He was like, good.
Dude, I didn't know who that guy was. Like, that is not the Nick Foles, like, that I've ever seen play. Even in his best year when he was starting and killing it with Chip Kelly, like, that was not the Nick Foles that, like, this Nick Foles, like, Doug Peterson, I mean, I was dogging on him before the game. Like, I didn't think he was going to be great. I thought the Patriots were going to win big. I lost like $450 on that bet. But, you know, I mean, it's just,
he out-coached Belichick, which is hard to do.
And, like, he got Big Dick Nick to play like a phenom, to play better than Carson Wentz did in the season.
Play better than Carson Wentz ever did.
Yeah.
In the 2 years they had it.
You know what I want? This is a hot take, but I want Johnny Manziel or Baker Mayfield on Doug Peterson's team.
That's a hot take.
Think about what he can do with Johnny Manziel.
Dude, Johnny Manziel's not going to play in the NFL.
Think about it. It's just a hypothetical.
He's fatter than me.
Yeah, hypothetical. Hey, comeback season. Have you seen his Instagrams? He's on the grind.
Yes, he's fat as shit and looks slow.
He's on the grind. He's back in it. He's going to go play in Canada. XFL 2020. 4 years
will change you.
You can't see this on the radio. But I'm doing comeback season. I'm doing the little hand signal. He's going to come back. I want to see Johnny Manziel in the NFL. I think Doug Peterson with Johnny Manziel, he makes Johnny Manziel into a phenomenal quarterback.
I think he makes anybody into a phenomenal quarterback.
Yeah, that's what
his
I'm saying.
His coaching style is incredible.
Yeah, but you take Johnny Manziel's like quick feet and arm strength and put that with Doug Peterson, and you have like a meld of like a absolute superstar.
Yeah, but Johnny Manziel's fat and slow now. He's not the quarterback he used to be.
Comeback season. He's going to get back there. Or, I mean, actually, I don't think – I take back my Baker Mayfield take. I don't think he would be as good. He's already – like, his thing, I don't know. But I want Johnny Manziel. I want a real comeback story. We got the real QB whisperer, Doug Peterson.
I think Johnny Manziel back to Cleveland.
Back to Cleveland. Oh, I like that. I mean, let's be honest. That's pretty good. Cleveland needs a quarterback.
Johnny Manziel XFL.
Johnny Manziel XFL. I'm definitely going to throw my name in for a head coaching job in the XFL. I might work up.
I'm
going to
try out for the team.
There you go.
QB1.
I think we are on to something here. I'm going to work up a PowerPoint for Vince McMahon. See what we can do. All right.
I'll only come out of retirement to play quarterback for you, Blake.
There we go. That sounds like an XFL Super Bowl champion. Right,
and we'll run trick plays every other play, so nobody knows what the hell is going to happen.
Love it. Oh, I love it. I mean, but another incredible game. Like, this was an incredible Super Bowl. Best we've had in a while.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Front to top to bottom, like, great game.
It was so back and forth.
It
looked
great. Like a Big 12. Everyone was saying it looked like a Big 12 football game. And you're damn right. That's what people want to watch in football.
Because it's fun.
These days. Big 12 football.
Who wants to watch the Big 10 where they run the ball 56 times and it's 14-7?
The future of football is the Big 12. And we will have a national champion in the next 2 years. I'm calling it. You heard it here first. The Big 12 will win a national championship in the next 2 years.
Yes, it will.
Man. All right, so let's roll. Drum roll, please, Ben. Hit it in the background. This is our newest segment.
Segment.
We can start calling it segment.
I like segment.
Segments, this is our newest segment. Genius or dumbass? Brevin White picking Princeton over Alabama. Genius move or dumbass move? We're gonna weigh the pros and cons. Let's hear what's name some of the pros, CJ. Give me your list of pros and cons on both.
Pro, you probably have to read to be able to go to Princeton.
That is a pro. That is a pro. Now give me a con.
You probably won't win a national championship your entire time in Princeton.
Some people will say it's physically impossible to win a national championship at Princeton.
It's also mentally impossible.
It's also mentally impossible. No, it's not mentally impossible because you could UCF. UCF played.
UCF did it. UCF mentally won the national championship.
They mentally won it. Yeah. So, but it's physically impossible. Mentally possible. Okay. So number one, I think my number one pro is like, could he be a genius starting quarterback in the NFL / hedge fund manager at the same time?
Whoa.
I mean, that seems like a pretty good career path. You're studying economics at Princeton. You go play for the Browns. You fly up to New York on the during the weekdays, run your little hedge fund, make billions of dollars. I mean, got a lot of connections at Princeton.
It could work.
All right,
give me a con.
I mean, that would be something if he's just dual doing it. Genius starting quarterback, hedge fund manager. I like it. I think it's a good con.
I love it.
All right, the con is Alabama's girls are way fucking hotter, like 10,000 times.
I didn't even know girls went to Princeton before I started looking at Princeton.
Not the hot ones. But you're a quarterback at Alabama. That's kind of hard to like pass up. Like that's I mean, you're walking around Alabama's campus. You're probably collecting five numbers in between classes. Each class, 25 numbers a day. I mean, you're just running through the entire sorority rounds. So,
yeah,
maybe he doesn't like chicks though.
Maybe
could be in a committed relationship.
He could be a cisgender.
A what?
A cisgender.
What is the
a non-gender specific person?
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm not up to date with the acronyms. Maybe. I mean,
Well, you never know these days.
You never know. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a perfectly okay. You do you, brother, if that's your thing. But I mean, I'm thinking for myself. That's a really, it's a really big future-looking move for him to pull this.
I mean, it's a very realistic move. Like, I really respect it because he's probably knows his own athletic ability. And he's like, I probably don't have what it takes to go to the NFL. So I'm going to go to Princeton and then set myself up for later in life rather than have a degree from Alabama, maybe win a national title as a backup quarterback. But then you have a degree from Alabama and people think you can maybe – you can probably read, but you might not be able to do math.
That's very, very – I mean, that's very true. It's very, it's certainly like the long-term smart decision because you're going to go – you can go make bank on Wall Street rather than going to Princeton like 100, 200K.
Oh, yeah.
Just flying.
Right, I mean, out of college, no doubt.
Yeah, millionaire by 30. I mean, if you're smart enough. I mean, if you're – if he's – you got to be smart to go to Princeton. So I think we. I mean, if it were you, what would you choose?
I'd probably go to Alabama because you could drink a lot more than Princeton.
It'll be a lot more fun, but
it'll be a lot more fun. You're only in college for 4 years, maybe five. Oh,
That's true. Damn, it's tough. I think I'd go to. I think I'd go to Princeton, make that bank out of college.
Yeah, but you can go to Alabama, win a national title as a backup. You go to grad school at Princeton.
True.
If you get a 4.0 at Bama, which you probably should if you got into Princeton.
True. Fair point. I mean, fuck it, I'd go to Bama. I mean, dude.
Yeah, come on, Blake. What are you talking about, Princeton?
I'd go to Bama.
What are you going to do? Be doing math equations in your dorm room on Saturday night?
It's definitely...
Is that what you really want to do for 4 years?
What the fuck was I thinking? I would go to Bama for sure. Play, win a national championship, get some rings. Yeah, definitely. Hopefully go to the NFL.
Hey, if even say he's not even that smart at Princeton. If you're average or your class, whatever. If you're a national title winning quarterback in Alabama, you could probably open like a Domino's or something in Alabama and everybody will go to it. Like,
you can buy 50 Taco Bells in the state of Alabama.
Exactly.
Like,
just do the Peyton Manning.
Or the blindside dude who played basketball at Ole Miss and just bought a shit ton of Taco Bells.
Shit ton of Sonics.
Oh, man. All right. Well, that was a little more serious episode of the Beer Bottle QBs. And I mean, I think that was a good one after a hiatus. We'll probably be doing them every few weeks. We're just going to do it whenever we feel like we have something good to talk about.
This is news to Blake, but we're going to start a new series called Conspiracy Theories.
Oh, yeah.
Where we just talk about conspiracy theories for about 30 minutes.
I forgot about this idea. This is, our next episode will be about conspiracy theories. That's awesome. That's something to look forward to. I have some good ones. I've been watching some YouTube videos. Man, okay. Maybe that'll be our summer series. We'll do it's not fucking close to summer yet, but it's also
it's not summer at all.
it's
our summer series on conspiracy theories. Is it summer?
It's summer. When football season ends, summer begins.
It's summer.
And summer doesn't end until football season starts again. Then it's fall. So there's only two seasons in football guys' world. There's fall football season and there's summer. So it's our summer series, summer. Conspiracies. It's going to be great. All right. Well, that's us. All right. See y'all later.